Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Season 313, Episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday. What that means, November 16th, that's what that means, which means it's also World Pancreatic Cancer Day, International Check Your Damn Wipers Day, check your window, your windshield wipers, because let me tell you, I used to not give a fuck, and they were just window smearers, and they do not actually keep you safe during inclement weather. Also, International Day for Tolerance, National Rural Health Day, National Indiana Day, National Button Day. And what the fuck is Great American Smokeout Day? Oh, they're saying, hey, don't be smoking cigarettes no more.
You know what I mean? Do it.
Unless that's your vibe.
Don't do that.
Leave it alone. No. And hey, something close to my heart, National Fast Food. But I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's just a vice. Okay. Who am I? Oh, that's right. I'm Miles Gray, a.k.a. all my geriatrics get hurt like this. Tweak my back, won't stop, won't quit. Just pulled it now. Pulled it good. Pulled that back like I knew I would. My neck, my back. Kicked the ball and heard a snap. Shout out to Jimboku on Discord. You heard I strained my back watching TV, and watching a soccer game, and I decided to do kicking a ball that was not there just to kind of participate along with what I was seeing, and I did my back. It's getting a little bit better, but thank you for that AKA. And thank you to the people that reached out where they're like, hey, you should check out this place for your back. I really appreciate all the outreach. And I am thrilled to be joined by my co-host. You know, a wonderful guy. You know, someone who's got many talents. Someone who is not also nice with the DAWs for editing purpose, but nice with the DAWs for music making purposes. He's a fantastic DJ. He has a voice that has the quality of vocal butter. Okay, that's what we like to say around here. That's a good thing. Please welcome to the microphone today's guest co-host, Justin Connor.
This year's the story of my life. Ooh. Been forced to host the Daily Zeitgeist. And though it feels so sad here without Jack, I absolutely love to host with Miles.
Oh.
How many days in a year? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, damn. You almost hit the whole
what
thing.
What up, y'all? It's the Chi-Town Shy Guy on a 10-year SoCal sabbatical, ready to do damage to some clavicles.
There you go.
Let's go.
Okay. MCJ, I see you out there. Thank you for so much for joining us. As you know, Jack is on assignment in, he's recovering. He's under the weather, but that's how we move. You know,
he's on an inner space adventure in his own body.
Yeah, exactly. But rest up, Jack. I know you'll be back. And hey, let's get to our guest. Somebody who's honestly one of my favorite guests, okay? And this person is not on the show enough for my liking. And I'm actually making an effort to have them back as much as possible because our shared love for the state of California, look, I'm from SoCal. They represent the yay area. You know, this is somebody who, fantastic stand-up comedian and writer, an actor, producer. You can find some of their very writings in things like We Had a Little Real Estate Problem, the unheralded story of Native Americans in comedy. Also, seen him on Comedy Central, Team Coco, Illuminative's 25 Native American comedians to follow. I don't know, maybe you read the Vulture, you read the LA Times, maybe you listen to the Daily Zeitgeist and know how fantastic this person is. Please welcome to the microphone, Jackie Kalia!
Oh my God, I love it, Miles. What a beautiful introduction there. Oh, I'm just feeling great. Amazing. So,
like I said, I was like, we were talking, and I was like, wait, who hasn't been on him? And I'm like, where's Jackie at?
Ah, I love it. I love being here. I love hanging out with you. It's always a good time. It's Native American Heritage Month. You know, there's just a lot happening in the world.
Yeah.
We have a lot of shows, a lot of gigs. I'm tired, but I'm going. I'm still going. We got a couple more. A couple more weeks left. So, you know, making it happen. But yeah, I love being here. You guys are the best. It's great. I love just getting to hang with Justin today. It's going to be
great. Yeah, yeah. We were talking yesterday, me and Miles, and we were like, man, every time Jackie pulls up, it feels like the homie. It feels like a cousin you're pulling up on at a cookout, just ready to vibe. Yeah.
We already know. Man, I fuck with Jackie heavy. Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, ever since you corrected me when I was calling them slideshows. You remember that?
slideshow for the record. It is side.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, but that's what it's about. You know, you need those people to come to, hey, man, I can't have you looking stupid out here.
It's all love. It's all love.
To look stupid in the Bay is a good thing, honestly. We love to look stupid.
Yeah,
go dumb.
Stupid. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we already know. Anyway, how have you been? You been good?
I've been good. Yeah, I was saying it's been a busy month. Things are good. I've got some projects going that I can't talk about just yet. But yeah, okay. I'm staying busy doing that. You know, a little bit of that writing, a little bit of that development stuff, a little bit of that, you know, stand up. There's just a lot going on, but it's cool.
You got your show Good Medicine, right? You're doing it in New York.
Yeah. We debut at the Pearlman Performing Arts Center, PAC NYC, in 2024. So February 9th. So excited.
Basically, pull up. I know you're in New York.
You got to come through.
Yes. Mark your calendars. It's not too early. Jot it down so you don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a really great time to check out PAC NYC. So just for folks who don't know yet, it has been under construction for years. It literally opened its doors in September. So for us to be part of their inaugural season is such an honor. And the week that we're performing, the 1491s, they're an all-native comedy sketch group. Folks may know them from Reservation Dogs, which is one of their biggest projects that blew up. It's on FX. And their play, Between Two Knees, is also going to be at the Pearlman in February. So go check out the play. Go check out Good Medicine. We've got two shows that night. We've got a killer lineup. We've got Dallas Goldtooth. Folks know him as William Knife Man from Res Dogs. Oh, you guys know him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Jana Schmieding, amazing actor, also in Res Dogs and Rutherford Falls. Adrian Chalapa, Brian Bahi. He was the pick for Just for Laughs, and he just debuted some really cool stuff on Comedy Central. So yeah, it's going to be a killer lineup. Come through, check it out. Support Between Two Knees. Come see us. And then on Saturday, we've got a panel about Native representation in media. So it's going to be amazing. You guys come through.
Please come through. I know you're in New York. Look, that's one of our, we got a lot of listeners there. And I know every time our guests come on, they're like, damn, man, Zeit Gang pulled up to the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds like a memorable show. Like, that sounds like something you might take away home with you.
Yeah. So, you're not going to hear it. Yeah. It's some good comedy. Something for the mind. And
there you
soul.
Go.
You know what
there
I mean?
You go. Exactly. Yeah, we change hearts and minds one joke at a time, y'all. But also, above and beyond everything is funny. And it's going to be a good
exactly.
time, so come through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know it's funny. Because, look, who's more funny than oppressed people?
Ah!
You know what I mean? It's honestly.
But we know how to laugh. We know how to laugh.
Yeah,
for
real,
exactly.
We know
how to have a good time.
You know how
we
to
really
make,
do.
Know how to make gold necklaces out of lemons. You know what I mean? We know how to do it. Go beyond lemonade. Anyway, Jackie, we're going to get to know you even better.
Yes.
But let's tell some people what, or not some people, all the people that are listening
all
right now,
sure.
what we're going to talk
Why
about. Just want to check back in with the GOP because Congressman Chip Roy, he had one of those moments where, like, he's starting to realize the clownery of his party, but he's not quite there. But it's also, you know, we'll get into that. He had a brief moment of clarity, like Jay-Z. Then we'll talk about there's that flight. I think a lot of people saw this on Twitter that like a plane had to turn around because horse aboard was loose. We'll just kind of
dig through that.
Yeah, just understand that a little bit more. Going to touch back in with our homies in the seas. The proletarian folk heroes, the orcas,
gang,
who were fucking sinking yachts and shit.
The killer whales.
Yeah, ooh, for real. You know what I mean? Watch your rudders, yachties, okay? Because like now there's like full-on Facebook groups of like sailors and yacht people who are like, yo, what the fuck you do to try and get them away? But luckily, the solution is so simple and it's actually quite beautiful. So we'll get into that. And then... just a quick reminder, as we deal with increased anti-Semitism and Islamophobia in this country, and just generally how much the media informs our perception of certain groups in the United States, got to talk about the movie True Lies, because that's coming back on Blu-ray. And if you want to talk about a stinky-ass Islamophobic piece of trash, it's fucking True Lies. And I've like always like known this, you know what I mean? But to really look at it, you're like, bro, you can't, what the fuck is this shit? And especially in the time that we're in. So we're going to delve into that so we can, you know, take a second to slightly deprogram ourselves of that propaganda we were just inhaling in the 90s. Okay. But before we do that, Jackie, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, what you're into right now?
Okay, so I always do a lot of my Googling right before bed. It's like doom scrolling followed by any of my questions for the evening. So City of Angels is what came up in my search history last night. Alanis Morissette, do you guys remember she sang that song Uninvited? It was part of the City of Angels. Okay, killer, amazing song, very haunting, very gorgeous. Anyway, it was like a really quick reel that I saw last night of her on the Kelly Clarkson show. And she still hits that pitch. She can do it.
Yeah.
She wrote the song in 15 minutes. Shut up. And so anyway, she said I wrote it in 15 minutes and boom, there it was.
Right,
and
so... Alanis.
Yeah. So anyways, I was like, oh my God, Alanis Morissette, like I Jagged Little Pill, like that whole situation, like loved it. So I was like, I gotta figure out City of Angels and I gotta like find out where I can stream it. So it's a beautiful film. Meg Ryan, Nick Cage, he's an angel. She's a human. It's a love story. So it's the fall. It's dark by five. This is the kind of shit that I watch at night.
Wait,
so.
I gotta hold on. Let me remind myself of that track really quick.
Yeah, I have a glimpse of it in my mind. And the slow like piano, like keys. Mm-hmm. It sounds like leaves falling. I think you're right on the money.
Yeah, this
there.
One is haunting as fuck.
It's haunting as fuck.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Strangely exciting. Yeah,
there you go.
Her whole thing. Her voice is still. I saw her do most of Jagged Little Pill like maybe last year, 18 months ago.
Did
in
you
concert,
really? And I would love to see that.
Fuck, I was blown. Oh. Dude, her voice is. Like, she's kept her voice up. Like, it's wild when you can hear somebody, what was that, fucking 30 years, 25 years or whatever since that album came out.
Yeah.
And then they just rip it like it's fucking 94.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's been so long since I've heard this song. I forgot how good it sounds immediately. Like, it sounds like powerful, like pretty, pretty quickly it draws you in. And Miles, because you're here, the first thing I thought was like, oh man, this could be a crazy like jungle edit or something under here. Yeah. But I don't want to ruin the vibe of autumn evening. So we'll save that for another time.
No,
but
we could throw some Reese bass on there and like, you know, do some, predecessors to dubstep for sure.
Hell yeah.
Do the remix, flip that one. Wait, so you said you heard the track, like the track was on TikTok or something?
Yeah, she's promoting her tour. She was, I don't know if you guys seen the Kelly Clarkson show, but Kelly Clarkson will sing with her guests. And so the two of them sang this track.
Oh,
and I was like,
got it.
I just got all the little goosebumps and I was like, oh, fuck.
Because so many TikTok, there's so many TikTok edits that Gen Z just like revives a song. From, they're like, yo, like you can edit like Hurt Animals like compilation to this and make you cry. And it's so funny because every now and then I hear a track, I'm like, bro, I haven't heard that shit since college, but okay, y'all really, I'm invested in this dog learning how to walk again after being hit by a car. You did it.
I just it brought it back and I was like, I have to see City of Angels. I remember seeing it in the theater, so like I was like, I've got to see this. We're queuing this up to watch tonight, so
okay,
yeah, it's a good one. I really enjoyed that
one. I mean, is I mean, I remember when this came out, I felt like this was like kind of towards the end of Meg Ryan's like appearances. Cause like, you know, since she took that break, but like, is, how is Nick Cage in that? In that, I think I saw when like it came out, but I have no, like, now that I'm have some experience and I know what romance is he believable?
He's very intense because he's an angel and he's conflicted.
Okay. I think he's an Oscar winner. And I think that's how he gets some of these roles where you're like, huh?
Well, he's also a Coppola. Right. He's also a Coppola. Yeah. You guys know that, right? So like he's chilling. Somebody's always making sure he gets the script, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But with all that power, he couldn't get that Superman movie made. So there are limits to that Nepo baby power. Like you
there's
can't
limits. There's limits, but there's still a lot of opportunities. And he's an interesting character. I did like a little walking tour in New Orleans last year, and he loves New Orleans. And he purchased a plot at the Lafayette Cemetery in New Orleans. Yeah. And it's shaped like a pyramid, you know, kind of like National Treasure style. So he's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Didn't he have to give back a bunch of dinosaur bones or something? Like his purchases.
I think he did. Yeah, he had some dinosaur bones. And then he recently was like, I identify as emo.
No, he's like, not.
Yeah. Or something when he was getting ready for the vampire movie he did. He was like, yo, I'm kind of like fucking with this whole dark vibe now.
He lived in a very creepy, very haunted vampire-esque place right there, like near Bourbon Street in New Orleans. And I'm like yeah.
That.
You like that? For him.
Yeah, sure. Because it feels like he's occupying his lane. I don't want that in my life, but like it feels like a very like eccentric celebrity thing to do. And if that's what makes him happy, it feels like it's not hurting anybody. Like, you know, whatever, do it, man.
It's funny though. I feel like the one interior design aesthetic that has me a little bit like, I don't know if I can go to sleep in here is like gothic.
Oh yeah, I'm cool on all that. Like, bye.
I remember seeing like on like those Zillow Gone Wild type like websites that show you just like wild ass houses that are for sale. Like there was one that the interior looked like a vampire's nightclub, and I was like, this shit is, I cannot relax in here. Like I just
No. If it looks like the set, you know what I mean? If it looks like a set of some sort of like 90s vampire film, nope.
Yeah.
Not gonna chill. Not gonna be not gonna sleep.
Mm-mm. My whole aesthetic is from dusk till dawn. You're like, okay, that's red flag city. Jackie, what's something you think is overrated?
Okay, so this is going to split the room, and I'm a little nervous to say this out loud, but Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have you guys seen it yet, by the way?
I have not seen
it. No, I've been actually, when I saw it, I was like, let me start seeing some First Nations Indigenous people comment on it, because I can definitely see the Scorsese vibe from people like, oh my God, this white guy, what did he go through? I'm like, who the fuck's being centered? And then when I saw whoever the language consultant was on the red carpet start dropping some knowledge, but not fully, you know, fucking shit up, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is obviously going to be flawed in some level, right?
Yeah. So just like a bit of background, I actually worked for the Osage Nation back in my urban planning days. Like I'm focused more on comedy now, but I worked as an urban planner. I have a master's in that, and I was working out there. And so I got a chance to like see this story come to life in the community, and got a chance to like really understand that this is still very much an open wound, still very much a very tragic, awful thing that's happened to the community. And so I knew once they started announcing like, oh, Martin Scorsese is going to do this and Leonardo DiCaprio, I was like, oh, how are they? I was like, let's hope they're handling it with reverence, because this is a big one.
Yeah.
And so I was already just kind of curious how it was all going to play out. But I will say they did consult left and right with community. And so that's huge. The fact that they were working with the tribe and working with tribal members just to put the story together. But that said, it is about the reign of terror and murder of Osage people, and for their head rights. So a head right essentially is basically it's oil money. And so people were coming in so I guess there's a lot of rampant violence essentially. And going in and watching 3.5 hours of that as a Native person, not the business for me. I was angry. I was very frustrated. And I will say, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, this is actually the hot take you were talking about on the red carpet with the Osage consultant.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull his name up in a second because we got to give him credit for what he said. But it just so much centered Leonardo DiCaprio's character, and we could see him wrestling with what he was doing, which was part of a murder plot centered on this one very specific family. And I'm like, why are we giving him this multidimensional approach? Yes, his name is Christopher Coate, and that's the Osage consultant. And I just felt like it gave him a lot of texture. And I'm like, what about the native people in this? You know,
I
would love to see Molly's character have a little bit more nuance, and I wanted something different. But again, I will say I do think it's important to watch the film because there's a lot of people who never heard about the story, who know nothing about it, and this was the first ever FBI investigation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so this is kicking off the FBI. Yeah,
exactly. And so I think that the acting is amazing. It's amazing acting. The set design, you're in there. They got flies going around, and I'm like in the theater, they really put you in it, right?
Right.
They put you in it. And so I really think that's great and lovely and wonderful. But yeah, it was just really hard for me to sit there and watch 3.5 hours of violence against Native people. And so, but here's the ultimate thing. So we're putting the spotlight on something that happened a long time ago. Lots of people stealing head rights and from tribal peoples. But what do we do next? What comes after this? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the question that I have. And that's not necessarily a question for the tribe or the question for the film crew. But Leo made a fat check on this one. Does he contribute some of that back to the community so they can get their head rights and lands back? I mean, that's what I'm just like. I want to see what happens next. And I hate to say it, but I don't know if this is going to, be a catalyst for other bigger questions about lots of people. Because this is one thing that we know about. This is one investigation. But there was all kind of crazy shit happening out there at that time with people coming in and stealing lands and stealing head rights directly from tribal members in unscrupulous ways and violent ways. So anyway, that's where I'm like, I think as a piece, it's important for people to have watched it. But if you're native, take your time. You don't need to see it right away. Schedule a therapy session in advance and after. You just got to really be there to support yourself because it's a heavy one. It's so heavy.
Yeah, there are those films that are made for audiences that that's important for them to understand. But if you come from that community, I mean, it's complete. That's why, man, 12 Years a Slave and certain movies like that. I'm like, bro.
Nope.
I mean, go if you need to see it, go ahead. I don't need to be convinced or know even more or a depiction of it. But I get it because everyone, we grapple with our own personal histories in our own ways. But yeah, if Leonardo DiCaprio and out here on some land back shit, mm-hmm. then what's up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was my main concern when mm-hmm. starting to see the movie being promoted. The audience reaction of the trailers was immediately wow, that looks beautiful. Wow, that looks great. And I saw Martin Scorsese. I didn't know much about the film. And then I was like, this seems like this could be very delicate and hard to pull off for a white man in his 80s, I believe. And the entire time as I was hearing the reaction to the film and how the hype build up, I was like, why isn't there any criticism? I was like, is it really that good? Did he really handle it that carefully and with that much depth and understanding? And I'm hearing that it's kind of, but not as much as you'd hope. Is that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jackie. Is that?
I mean, I guess. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Or no, I'm just saying, or it feels like it's just inherently hard to make a movie like this.
Yeah.
And pull it off in the way that you need to.
Yeah, but does that, I guess my misgiving is was he the best person to do it? Or I guess, my whole reaction to it when I first saw it, I was like, really, Martin Scorsese? And that was when, I guess, I was like, The Irishman, fine. But this felt different for me. And I was like, I wasn't as excited as I thought the hype was. And I was questioning why I wasn't getting there.
Right. I mean, so it's actually based on a book called Killers of the Flower Moon by mm-hmm. David Grand, who's a non-native person who mm-hmm. writes about the Osage murders and the birth of the FBI. But this essentially is a film based off of the book. So I think in that way, I didn't read the book, I'll tell you that. But again, I'm not jumping into reading about these things myself, but I have quite a few friends who read it and they were like, oh, okay. It was definitely a little bit more mystery oriented in the book, according to, my friend's assessment of reading it. But yeah, they were like, yeah, I think it did sort of a good job of of laying out what happened in the book. And but at the same time, this, like I said, this is a very heavy topic for this very real community that's living with this right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the piece of it where I don't know if I'm just naive, but I was like, look, this is Hollywood. We have some creative license. Like, I thought that the murders might be like not so in your face. Like, I felt maybe there could be some creative interpretation of what happened to inject more agency and power into the Native perspective. Cause that's what I would do if I had an opportunity to do it. Right. Yeah. I'd be like, all right, here's a story, but here's a story I want to tell about this story, you know? And so I think, like, I guess I was silly to think maybe it wouldn't be so in your face. And then the opening scene, like a couple of moments into the opening scene, we see our first murder. And I'm like, it was just so real. And it was like, literally, the people were gasping in the audience.
Okay,
like,
good. You know, I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I get it. Like, I think probably, and I haven't read any of their sort of the film, the directors, and I haven't read any of what they've said in response to any of some of the criticism that's coming out. But I'm sure they're like, we want it to be real. We want it to be in your face because we don't want to hide the horrors of what this was. But simultaneously, if that's your goal, then I'm going to recommend Native people do not watch. You know, anyone who's been from a community that has been targeted and oppressed in a very violent, awful way, that's where I'm like, ooh, I just be prepared, basically.
Lily
Gladstone, who's the amazing actor who plays Molly, she even said, because unfortunately, because of SAG and because of the SAG after strike, wasn't even able to promote or say much about it. And so finally, once the strike was lifted and all of that, Lily came forward and said, like, please take care of yourselves because this is a heavy one. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the vibe we should have gone in with. But unfortunately, because of the strike, no one was able to say much, you know? Right. So, and I watched it, like, I had an advanced screening. And so, like, I saw it with a lot of people, like, well before it came out. And so, you know, anyway, that's so I think it's a little overrated. And I do think that people who don't know about the story should absolutely watch it. And again, amazing acting. And I do hope that Lily Gladstone gets a nom. Like, she has to. Like, she fucking killed it. And people might recognize her from Reservation Dogs. She plays the auntie who's imprisoned. So, and I can't remember her name right now. I'm sorry. But anyway, killer acting. A lot of amazing acting.
That was a good nuanced take. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you just split the room because we didn't see it.
I want you guys to watch it. And we got to debrief. I want to watch it, please, and let's debrief.
This convinced me to watch it, absolutely. I was on the fence, and now the fact that you were like, no, it's essential. You're just going to need to take care of yourself. That really pushed me over the edge.
Yeah, because it's hard, I think, in general, to see just that kind of untethered violence towards marginalized people that goes unpunished. It's like, it's hard to watch that over and over and over
again. And then Native women on top of that. Like, we already have, like, folks are familiar with MMIW, Murdered Missing Indigenous Women. So this is nothing new. And it's just really hard to stomach. And, you know, and also, it's 3.5 hours long. So, like,
that's another
part. Do not drink anything before you go in.
Yeah. Like, or wear a diaper, you know, whatever you got to do. You know, whatever you got to do.
There's no intermission. It's just nonstop. So.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back and we'll find out what's overrated and then we'll get some news.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. Let's switch gears. We didn't forget about your underrated. Jackie, what's something, some things? I don't know. What's something that's underrated?
I think what's really underrated is acupuncture. Okay. So I'm in that point in my life where I'm having sciatic nerve pain. What? No fun. Uh-oh. No fun. And honestly, it happened because I just got really sedentary. I started working from home about 3.5 years ago, and I stay working at home. So I'm not doing that like active movement, just running to and from the office like I used to. So anyway, I had a really bad flare up. And one of my good friends was like, yo, you got to check out this acupuncture clinic. This woman's amazing. You go in there, you walk out with no back pain. And you guys, I'm not even lying. I would be pretty aggressive about it, go 3 times a week. But
yeah,
I have got it down to a point where I'm sitting, I'm able to stand for long periods of time. Like, it's such a, and what's so cool about it that I didn't know, I don't know the total science behind it, you know, but this is like traditional Chinese medicine.
Right.
It is used widely across the globe. Multiple countries have it just built into their medical systems, you know, but the US is, you know, a little on the fence, probably because they love pharmaceuticals. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, they're like, well, did it come from one of the colonial powers?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know about
it. We don't know if we can trust it.
Yeah,
exactly. But it basically gets your body into a relaxed state. And so like in the beginning, I was nervous because I'm afraid of needles, but you kind of just get used to it after a while. And they'll like put like a couple of pins, like for me anyway, based on what I need in my, on the top of my scalp right here. And I swear, whenever she pops that in, it's like my body goes, like it just, it kind of like powers down in a really beautiful way. Cause I'm a very active creative, and sometimes I cannot get this thing to shut down on its own. So I love to just chill, and I'll just like chill there for like 40 minutes with these little needles in me. And then when I walk out, I feel like this little post acupuncture glow where I'm just like, everything's beautiful and I'm relaxed, you know? And so I just think it's really underrated, and I don't hear enough people talking about it. And like, you kind of, depending on your healthcare, you may or may not have options, but there are definitely community clinics that try to get this to you at a more reasonable sliding scale. So I'm sure it's available a lot of places, but I couldn't tell you like how surprised I was at how it was able to address like my acute, like I was having a major flare up. And so I'm just going to go continuously. And
okay.
So I'm a big fan, and I highly recommend it for anybody.
I might need that for my back after I slipped and kicked an invisible ball.
I know. Miles, you need that.
I was just going to say, it's so wild you say that. I spend a lot of hours in this Batman chair that I'm sitting in right now. Mm-hmm. And as I was doing the AKA, right after I was done saying, I don't know if you guys noticed me, my back started freaking out. I have no idea what happened.
Was it like, you said, break your clavicle?
Yo, I think I busted my clavicle. My shit. Oh, my God. My back was spasming, and I just turned 32. So I'm discovering things about my body all the time. And this really, you hit on a number of things. I definitely spend too much time in a chair. I become mm-hmm. more sedentary as well. And my lower back is doing some weird stuff. And I think I also have a hard time relaxing, especially mm-hmm. if I'm like in a place where I think, you know, the idea of massage and like spas and stuff, it really, really appeals to me. I love the idea of it, but being comfortable in that space, like I cannot turn my head off. I'm constantly like body conscious and wondering what's going on. The fact that someone can just like place a thing on mm-hmm. me and just take a step back, that's really appealing to me in a way I never thought about before.
There you go.
I mean, it's powerful. It's powerful stuff. And like, I don't know all the sciences of it. It's basically about energy flow. And mm-hmm. it's about basically cleaning up those sort of intersections of energy that are going through our body. And some of them are kind of stuck, if you will. And it's really big on like lowering inflammation. Like there's just a lot of people I know who now it's a part of their general healthcare practices. Right. Once a week, they go to their acupuncturist, they do their thing. But I will like fully take naps in that chair, you know?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I love it. And I feel like, and you said you just turned 32. Happy birthday, belated birthday.
Thank you.
And that's about that age when stuff starts to move around. And I feel like it's really taken the, like, I need to start building stuff into my regular practice because it's just going to keep getting more challenging, unfortunately.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Unless
you gotta take care of yourself.
Unless we can find the fountain of youth, you know what I mean?
Right.
But hey.
Right.
Or that just means, you know, taking the blood of younger people and then putting it in your body. Maybe that works. I don't know. People are trying it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
A couple of bong rips. It's all however you get through your day.
However you get through your day.
The bong of youth, as I call it. the blunt of youth. You know what I mean? Who would have known that the secret to long life was in a pack of backwoods?
There you go.
Okay. Let's move on to some news. The GOP. We were just talking about how the habit of tripling and doubling, quadrupling down on this terrible hand of like transphobia and healthcare denial or health access mm-hmm. to healthcare denial is like their whole thing. And they keep losing. They're like, no, we can win, man. We can win. And also, I know it's a total clown show in the Congress, but like we can't even keep the government funded. But don't worry, still vote for us. There's this moment on Tuesday where Chip Roy, who's a congressman of Texas, was getting really upset with just kind of like, yo, like there's so much infighting, like we can barely keep the government funding. What like just started grandstanding as if he wasn't a Republican too, but it's just interesting to see him come for his fellow colleagues on the right because he's big mad about mm-hmm. the perceived nonsense that's happening, although he probably isn't. He's probably doing this to help his election chances. But anyway, let's listen to Chip Roy.
One thing. I want my Republican colleagues to give me one thing. One. That I can go campaign on and say we did. One. Anybody sitting in the complex, if you want to come down to the floor and come explain to me one material, meaningful, significant thing the Republican majority has done.
So this is very interesting. It should be noted that he decided to talk with his chest out like that when mm-hmm. it was empty. So mm-hmm. can't really give you full points there, Chip, for going after your colleagues because you're like, all right, everybody gone. Now watch this shit. Because also let's like, this is where it's a little bit funny, right? I get that he's saying like, name one thing, but sir, you were wasting your time trying to get diversity bills like canned from the Department of Defense or, you know, going after just like very basic things like there's a federal law that bans people from blocking abortion clinics and he wanted to repeal that. So, sir, you're putting a lot of your energy behind shit that I don't know if you can actually go back to your constituents and be like, yeah, I did that. I kept a rainbow flag out of the Pentagon. Okay. But it's just like one of those things where it's like a little bit of trying to say like, I'm better than everybody. But if you really look at the receipts, you're like, bro, what the fuck are you saying? For real.
Yeah, yeah. He reminds me of my dog who makes a huge fuss when there's like a shadow at the door. And as soon as you open it up, she's like, oh, new friend. It's, yeah, I'm really tired. So I love to see people being passionate. I just hate to see people being inauthentic. And I think that's what's really made the populace like so apathetic, because it's hard to trust anything in politics. It always has been. But even when there's like some modicum of like an impassioned speech, it's always tacked on with the caveat of like, you know, this isn't real, this is a performance, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And I just can't sit here and stumble, because otherwise when it's real, you get that weird shit like we got the other day with Mark Wayne Mullen trying to beat people up in like a Senate chamber, and that was a real impassioned thing, but it was mm-hmm. so stupid that everyone felt embarrassed by it. And these are the options we have. It's yeah. fake or it's stupid.
Yeah, well, that's not that was more, I feel like, toxic mask. I don't want to
okay,
put that
you're
in
right,
passion
you're right.
column, you know
yes,
what I mean? You fuck with my mask, I'll fight you right here.
I'm gonna pretend to take my wedding ring off because I don't want to hurt anyone.
Exactly.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'm like, if he started taking his wristwatch off and doing the whole clear out, I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, oh, he's wearing black Air Forces? Oh, well,
oh, shit, okay.
Oh, I didn't know. Maybe Mark Wayne is trying to, maybe
takes
he
out
is for the smoke.
A can of Vaseline and just smears it on his
yeah,
head.
Oh, like,
oh,
what
shit.
The fuck?
Oh, yeah. We about to get ready.
He's like, let me tie my hair back really quick. Let me take my earrings out. You're like,
yeah,
okay.
See, that's the male equivalent
hey,
of
hold my baby,
your
hold my baby,
out.
Hold my baby, hold my baby real quick. But yeah, this is kind of like what it's been reduced to. It's just people getting clips on Twitter
yes.
and then hopefully they can campaign on that. Meanwhile, like the Democrats don't have to do anything. Because the Republicans are so bad. So everybody loses because they can just be like, because everyone's just like, this is going to make re-election so easy for all the Democrats. It's like, yeah, but here's the issue here. If we're not trying to change the status quo for something that looks like a little more equitable, then we're doing fuck all. We're actually going backwards. And I just hate how easy like it is for Democrats when you have Republicans like this who are just like completely just lost the plot. But anyway, here we are. Shall we move on to something a little bit more, I guess, more chaotic than the dysfunction of Congress? a horse being loose on a plane? I saw this headline. It said, plane forced to return to JFK Airport after horse on board gets loose. Now, I'm pretty sure everyone is picturing like a full-on fucking horse, like mm-hmm. fucking up the fuselage, right? Like where people are like, ah! Well, it turns out, because obviously that shit wouldn't happen, although I don't know why my mind's like, how'd it get the horse in the plane like that? It was in the cargo hold and got out of its crate, which is why the plane had to land. And which is interesting, too, the pilot was like, nah, we're good to fly. But the pilot was really concerned about the well-being of the horse and was saying, like, hey, when we land at JFK, like, we need veterinary care to check this horse out. Like, want to make sure horse is doing all good. And I'm like, damn, like, that's a lot of, you know, we don't even give a fucking human beings this kind of consideration, but God, but go on, pilot. Yeah. Bring this thing down and save the horse. But yeah, I didn't realize horses do fly on planes all the time.
Yeah, I didn't know this either. And as someone who, I think we've talked many times about like the anxieties of flying on or traveling when you have a pet and you're worried about like it shitting in the airport or whatever. I have committed to never taking my dog on a plane unless I somehow make enough money to like go on a chartered flight at some point. But
baby only flies private.
Right, right. But I was thinking, why isn't there a airline that caters to animal lovers, pet owners or whatever, where you can make it so it's like, no, we're pretty chill about your dog shitting in the aisle. We have someone to clean it up. I would pay extra for that.
You would?
Yes.
Justin,
yes.
You know that fucking airline would smell like straight up shit.
I don't care. That's fine. I don't care. I pretty much have to pay like so much money to put my dog in daycare when
so
I want to travel myself. I don't have anyone around to take care of it.
I guess you could make it work if you use like a decommissioned like C-130 or something, like a military aircraft. Where
and limit it too. Don't make it like 300 people on a plane. Like make it very limited. And
Or just being like, or when you get on, you're like, y'all know what time it is. There's no fucking snacks, bro. This is the bus for your dog to shit on while we go to fucking Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, and also we're not doing 12-hour flights. We're doing like 2 hours, you know, whatever, where your dog can handle it. I'm trying to be practical here, but
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience with horses on with traveling with horses? I mean, I knew somebody who was dating like a horse girl, for lack of a better term.
A horse girl.
Yeah. You know, like the girls in high, they're like, I have a horse. And they're like, yeah. And you're like, and you realize they're like, oh, that means you were rich as fuck. We just thought you were always like drawing pictures of horses and shit. But my friend was dating someone like that who like came from apparently like hidden dynastic wealth and was like flying her horses like all over the place. And that was the first time I heard, I was like, you can just put a, they're like, yeah, that's how you get them across the country. I'm like, you need your horse to go. Again, I'm ignorant of those things that are all equine, but apparently like this is normal too. There was like a bear cub got loose on a flight to Baghdad. If that was like on the internet, where like a little bear cub was just wilding out on the plane. And then also like on Vietjet, there was a flight where someone, an otter and a rat that were smuggled into someone's suitcase got out.
No,
I don't know, man. Okay.
This is too much. I already hate flying to begin with. If some animal pops up and some shit, I'm out. You know, I mean, you can't be out. That's the whole problem. You're just stuck on the plane with these critters.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I mean, you can just open the emergency exit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Deal with it that way. I mean, it would be terrifying. Can you imagine? Because here's what's happening, right? They're in the plane and they hear clank, 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 clank. They're like, what the fuck is that sound? Yeah. Oh, shit. The horse got loose.
Right.
It's huge.
You don't want to have like barn problems on a plane. No. You know, you the horse got out like that. I like that in the context of like a, you know, like a rural setting, but not on my overpriced flight because shit's already
It's Damn too much. Money. It's too much. And then also like poor horses, like horses are actually really sensitive. So I'm sure this damn horse was having the worst panic attack of its life. 35,000 feet in the air. Very unfair to that poor horse.
Yeah, not even flying private.
Ugh. Yeah, that's one of the, that honestly is one of the reasons. I don't think my dog would like flying private. She's that bougie. She would make me drive her. Like, I don't resist
getting on the plane when you're on the jetway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why are we walking past the lay flat seats? Why are we walking past these seats?
Are we going to the back? Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. I think I would always, I will take 4 extra travel days to like take my dog. If planes freak me out so much already. Like you said, it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. It's too uncomfortable. We already dealing with people taking their shoes off. I don't want to deal with
when you
with,
people with the feet. I'll take a horse over a foot any day.
I don't need any of that. Wasn't that a RFK Jr. thing recently? He went to like an airport bathroom without socks or shoes on. Yeah. Like no, when you deal
someone,
with that kind
someone
of
someone caught him walking through first class with shoes. No. I'm gonna flick this one
to the bathroom.
Time.
Yeah. So no, thank you. So yeah, I think sure. Maybe we need to relook at how we're transporting these animals because that doesn't sound like it would. I mean, how do you get out of that without traumatizing the horse? Like,
Bunch of horse Xanax or some shit?
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, well, yeah, I think it's still Ketamine. Probably going to be traumatized. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I heard it was not really for humans at first.
I know. Ketamine is horse tranquilizer.
It is.
You can find it at any concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly. And now at your therapist too. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I'm doing ketamine therapy too. I just got a license.
Oh, it's all over. It's the hottest rage in LA. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think in the West Coast too. Like, it's just, you see it up and down. Look, people don't understand the power, the things that can be unlocked with psychedelics. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to orcas. Our brethren in the fight against, just obscene wealth and also fishing boats. You know, it's not really on the fishermen. But in the last year, there was like just increased reporting of orcas, killer whales going after yachts and fishing boats in the Atlantic, primarily near the Iberian Peninsula, but just like generally in the Atlantic. And some boats, look, damaged so bad they fucking sank. And others were like disabled to the point that they needed to be towed because like the rudders were like bitten off by the orcas and shit. And they're like, I can't fucking steer this shit anymore. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? So this has led to many in the sailing, yachting, boating world of that region of the world to like get together. They're like Facebook groups where they're like, yo, I figured it out. I know how to actually deter the orcas. Some swear that blasting heavy metal from an underwater speaker will help. Others have said that painting the hull different colors will not attract them. Meanwhile, on Facebook groups, they're saying that scattering sand behind the boat will maybe throw them off. And others have gone as far as throwing fucking firecrackers in the water to scare them, which every expert is like, don't fucking throw little bang bangs in the water at these fucking animals. First of all, you will harm them and also like the other creatures around them. Like, it's very fucking detrimental to that ecosystem. And at first, like, I think like everybody were like, yo, the fucking orcas get it. Like, they're fucking, they have God level intelligence. Like, they understand that these boats are a fucking stain on our society. But it turns out many researchers have just thrown cold water on that. And they're like, it to us, it sort of looks like, you know, the orcas have just found a new way to play with the boats. Like, it seems more like play more than them actually being like, yo, how much your fucking income type shit. It's more about them having, you know, a good time. So I think it's just like interesting that the like a lot of people, as they argue about this, the one thing that people have all said that they're just starting to do rather than throw fucking bombs at them is to be like, how about we just stay the fuck away from them? Like, where we know they're at. How about that? That's actually foolproof. And now slowly it sounds like that is catching on, which is nice to see rather than people be like, no, you need this fucking harpoon, bro. Like, I like that we're, we've come back to, nah, man, respect the fucking seed. Like, that's, it is what it is. Yes. You don't want smoke, then don't go near them. And then, sorry, take a detour.
I mean, this is the animals are animaling. That's what they do. Like, people will just stroll up on their territories and get all mad when they can't do their whatever fishing trip or whatever.
Right,
it's like, it's like orcas, it's bears. Like, the amount of people who just stroll up on a bear being all cute. And it's like, the bear's going to bear real quick.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's, I just hate seeing these stories of people who are just out there and getting mad. Like, oh, they're ruining our things. And it's like, you're literally ruining their habitat.
Yeah. Well, it's such all a, like,
yeah, it's awful.
Definitely like colonizer mindset.
It you know is. What I
mean? Where it's like, what you mean? I'm on this fucking boat. The fucking, the laws of nature should conform to my fucking needs and wants. And a fucking killer whale, not today. I will throw a bomb at you. When, it, which again, I'm just so glad that it's like, they have these places, they call them like orca alleys, where they're like, yo, they tend to kick it like in these spots. And so now they're just like, just fucking avoid it. You know what I mean? Yeah. How about we just fucking respect nature and not start trying to conquer it? But hey, shout out to the orcas, you know, do your thing. Keep playing if that's what you want to say.
Keep playing, wink, 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 wink.
Yeah, yeah, we love to play. We love to play.
That targeted play. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. Yes.
I think it's beautiful though. Like, honestly, like the orcas have really become the symbol for the underdog. You know, like it's really like the people who are like, yeah, go ahead and get them, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's just, it's a lot of incredibly rich people who don't give a fuck about the environment. So,
truly.
You know. It's
exactly. That's why it's good to like, apparently like in these Facebook groups, there are people who are like, y'all are fucking really missing the point here. Like, it's not about like, they're not attacking you. Like, especially if they're just, they're playing or whatever. They're not really going after you, but to understand that just make way for nature. You know what I mean?
Make way.
We don't know shit about the ocean as it is. Like,
people
so,
on a state of the art $1 million thing are claiming victimhood, like they're being attacked.
Well,
my
boat was only $600,000. So
I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're at the low end of the spectrum there, but
they call me the broke boy in the yacht community, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'll own my truth. Also, I did not know that orcas are technically dolphins.
Wait.
Oh, they're mammals, right? Yeah.
Largest member
of
the oceanic...
whales are mammals too. Yeah. So,
is there a whale family?
I don't know.
There's got to be. Like, now I'm playing myself. They're like, yeah, bro. Like, they're all fucking dolphins, fam. No, because it's whales. See, this is why I have to look. I'm trying to be transparent with the audience. I don't know. I don't know about horses.
We don't know anything.
Don't know about whales either. They didn't know that the shit was a dolphin. So, shout out dolphins too.
I did not know they're dolphins. But it makes sense though, because dolphins are actually pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
And they're very smart.
Very smart.
I actually swam with dolphins once, and now that I know about dolphins, I will never do that shit again. Wild ass dolphins in New Zealand. They were right next
to me. Oh, wild? Yeah. I've seen too many videos where like dolphins are kind of like, they're violating.
They do violate. There are, yes. We don't got to get into it, but yeah, they violate.
Yeah. Like, enough that I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, cancel that dolphin.
Yeah.
The fuck is this?
Cancel the dolphins.
Yeah, cancel the dolphins. I mean, like, not all, but hey, we know.
Not all dolphins.
Not all dolphins. Not all dolphins. Yeah. Yo, no. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be coming right back to talk about some new bullshit available on Blu-ray.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zyte Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. So, just full disclosure up top, I'm a geriatric millennial. You knew that, which means I came of age. You know, with the media, the '90s, 2000s was all me. True Lies, I fucked with that movie heavy. Okay, I thought the shit was action packed. I was like, yo, they got fucking Dana on the fucking Harrier jet and shit, Crimson Jihad. I was like, yo, what the fuck? This shit is wild. Then I had some life experience. I learned some things. I met some people. I talked to people. I got some perspective. And looking back, kind of biggest piece of Islamophobic trash, like one of the biggest ones that came out in the '90s that does not get talked about enough. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I wasn't fucking with True Lies before. And not that I was fucking with it because I was like the message in it. I was just a preteen teenager who liked watching shit blow up and watching somebody drop a Uzi down the staircase and then murk like 20 people with it. If you remember that scene with Jamie Lee Curtis. So apparently it's coming back out on Blu-ray along with like a bunch of other James Cameron films. And, you know, like it was a huge movie and like there was like even a TV show that got canceled that was based on it. It wasn't available to stream like at all until the end of last year. Like you had to like actually own that shit or buy that, you know, buy a digital copy or whatever. Like you couldn't just stream it. Now, it's just interesting because as this movie's coming back, right? The conversation sounds like me from the year 1998 or something like that, going like, oh my God, True Lies is coming back. Yes, True Lies. We love it. We love it. We love it. And, like, it's just like this is such like one of the best action movies. Rather than being like, this was actually one of the most backwards, racist movies of the '90s that we aren't really grappling with. Because in general, we don't really examine Islamophobia in this country because we've been fed a steady diet of like, oh, yeah, them people, yeah, they're just the bad guys. Those are just bad guys. And some recent articles like talking about the film's return note that True Lies is now, quote, a bit dated now in terms of, quote, cultural depictions, which is, that's
the understatement of the century.
Right.
First of all, I did not know this. So like I did know that the film is sexist, but I didn't know that like at the time the outrage that was happening because I was like fucking 10 years old. Mm. But the James Cameron like dismissed a lot of these sort of accusations of sexism or like, they're like, what the fuck? Like, what is this guy doing? Like this guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Harry, he arrests his wife, like disappears her and then puts her in a fucking interrogation room and then gets her to fucking like confess to some weird shit. Apparently he said in defense of that scene, James Cameron said, quote, "I've had a lot of guys say, I need one of those rooms at my house."
Oh, oh God. Fuck.
Bruh.
How awful. Whoa.
That's not the fucking defense. Okay. All right. Well, you've proved your critics wrong. Well. No. Could you imagine? He's like, yeah, he just said that shit right now in the press tour. Oh, but like, even like women's rights groups, they were even just straight up said they wouldn't protest the movie specifically because, quote, compared to the Arabs in this film, women come off relatively well in this one.
Oh.
That they were even like, I don't know if really we should have the most complaints here because they are doing these characters absolutely just disrespectfully filthy. And it's really, I think it's just wild to call the movie like sort of dated because even when the film came out, there were people protesting and boycotting the film because of how racist it was. They're in like 54 Arab and Muslim countries just fucking banned it. They're like, bro, you're not gonna fucking catch this shit here. At all, which is so wild. When I'm like, when you look at all of it now, you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, it's all adding up because the film is specifically right about Harry Trasker, I believe is his name, yes, or whatever his full name is, and he's battling a Palestinian terrorist group called the Crimson Jihad. Okay, I don't know what that. I don't know where he fucking got that. Maybe because Cameron just thought jihad means like violent gang or something. And he's like, yeah, call him Crimson Jihad or some shit like that. And like the Palestinians in this film are portrayed as just like bloodthirsty, willing to torture like anyone they come across because they are hell bent on destroying the United States and Israel. And by the way, like when you watch it, they are like absolute clowns too. Mm-hmm. Like the most incapable people ever. Like they don't have their camera batteries charged when they're trying to show off
they're basically stormtroopers.
Exactly, which makes it easy like when they're reduced to sort of like these comedic depictions that Harry can just be like aim gun at and blast, right. And you're like, yeah full cool dude, like I don't even know if that's a person really. And Jack Shaheen, who is the author of the book Real Bad Arabs, called True Lies, quote, perhaps the most anti-Palestinian film Hollywood has ever made. It says there is no form of communication more powerful than film in creating propaganda. And Golan and Globus took it to another level. Certainly, American producers play a role in vilifying Palestinians. Perhaps the most anti-Palestinian film is True Lies, is the full quote there.
I didn't even, like, as a kid, same thing, Miles. Like, I grew up watching this and, you know, again, 10. So just wasn't critical of what was happening. But I never attached the Crimson Jihad or any of those folks to an actual nation. Like, and so I'm kind of getting my mind blown right now, like, thinking about, like, it was... they were supposed to be Palestinian in the film.
Yeah. And
I didn't even know that.
It's bad. Mm-hmm. And like, even like Fox, who put out the movie, they defended it by saying that like the villains in the movie, quote, we don't label them as Arabs or Muslims. That was actually a statement from Fox.
Really?
We just cast them that way. Like, what the fuck?
The actors are all, I think we had some Arab performers in there. They are wearing the keffiyehs, but it's like, sir, is it because you literally didn't say the words? That's how you're trying to make it like it's such a cheap fucking defense. And so they tried to fucking calm the waters a bit by adding a disclaimer in the film that said, quote, this film is a work of fiction and does not represent the actions or beliefs of a particular culture or religion. Wow. The wild part is that shit came at the very end of the film, and that statement came right after this one that said no animals were harmed in the making of this film.
Oh my god. They were more concerned about the horse in that
truly
one
yes
on yeah the in the elevator
than they were like, about the representation.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that is wild to say. Literally, we're gonna actually ensure that for people who are concerned about the animals, that will take, that will actually take priority just in the sequence of disclaimers before we're like, yo, sorry if this was like straight up Islamophobic propaganda. But the horses, though, just a reminder, the horse was
good. They were cared for.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And terrible. The dog, even the little dog that he would walk when he would just pull it along on the leash.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You're like, you're sending me back. Like, I'm starting to.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm in real
Tom
time.
Tom Arnold like, was in it. Tom Arnold was in it, too. Yeah. He played his like little sidekick.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of really good lines, though. Like, there's this one silly line about how he broke up with his wife. And he's like, what kind of sick bitch takes the ice trays out of the freezer?
Yeah. She took the ice cube trays. I remember that was like one of my like favorite curse word like sequences in a movie. I was like, what kind of sick bitch takes the ice cube trays?
Miles' ASMR debut.
Yes. What kind of sick bitch takes the ice cube trays? That shit was from Tom Arnold, fam. Like,
and remember like there's the angsty teen and she like, and he like, he hides a little camera in the, and then she steals $20 from him.
Yeah.
And she gets on a bike with her boyfriend. And then she ends up being in that final scene with.
That's Dana. Dana.
You do a great job, honestly. Give me the goddamn page.
Remember, give me the goddamn like page.
And he's breaks the window. It's not really rock hard, Data.
Yeah.
A little soft. Okay. So there are some great lines, and they are
okay,
not...
Okay, hold on. This is not a defensive film. We're just being nostalgic.
I'm just getting really nostalgic. Like, my head is just full of these stupid, like, sound bites from that fucking, you know, movie.
Or, like, when Simon, he's like, you're gonna shoot me! I got a tiny dick. It's pathetic. There's that whole shit. There's a lot of, again, shit that made you laugh that was just sandwiched around everything, too. Because also, Simon's character was fucking grimy as fuck. Remember, he was doing what the dude who's the main character in Sound of Freedom was being accused of, was saying, you got to pretend to be my wife on this mission and then coerce them into, like, sexual shit. Like, that's exactly what Simon did. Anyway, when you look
at Bill Paxton.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a little rest dick. It's pathetic, really.
I'm Naval Lint.
Yes, but Naval Lint. Oh, my God. You are, like, taking it back right now. Like, I am just stupid
lines.
I'm
getting it out now. So then when I put it away forever, I can have these memories, you know, these good memories. When I knew not of American hegemony.
I mean, I knew it was bad and I knew it was stupid. Like, and especially when they make them all very goofy, like the whole, like, just like when they're trying to have their big moment and then the battery dies in the camera. Like, it to me, I was like, but again, a kid. But this is so silly. I just looked at the poster for True Lies and it said, when he said I do, he never said what he did.
Because it's like, shit.
It's all centered around his relationship. Because he's supposed to be like, what, a paper salesman? Is that what it is?
Yeah, isn't something really boring. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So funny.
I mean, it's just wild too, because like when they were asked to, or James Cameron, he like did not want to take any kind of responsibility. And he said, quote, I just needed some convenient villains. I could have picked Irish terrorists.
Oh, shut up, James Cameron.
But you picked marginalized brown people. That was your decision.
Yeah,
he loves it. I mean, come on. He did Avatar, which is basically
I was just
Pocahontas
gonna say.
And John Smith in the space. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, he just
but he got in blue face, though, too. That's how dedicated he was to the movement.
Blue face.
I think it's also just like whack. Like, obviously, like we're in such an era, too, where the labels of terrorism are thrown around, like just basically deployed to discredit people that are in most cases oppressed and have no other recourse except for uprisings. And like you see that throughout history, like the kinds of groups that like now like they called this group. They used to be called terrorists. And now we're like, oh, yeah, the people that were for Black liberation or other kinds of liberation or, you know, calling like, you know, when enslaved people were like, OK, so this is not happening anymore. Like the terrorism that these people endured in Haiti. You're like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
It's very cyclical.
The label.
Like we don't know the difference. Like what is terrorism? What is fascism and what isn't? That's been a hot topic recently. Like Trump can say the most fascist shit in the world and then call all of his enemies fascists. Like there is really an effort to.
Well, they're also communists.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Is trying to, everyone, it seems to be not literally like understanding the definition of words is very important. And I think we're losing so much ability to see through the bullshit. It's very concerning.
What? And I think just Americans in general, like people don't, and not, I'd say not all Americans, but the concept of like oppression and hegemony are kind of like foreign, because a lot of people are like living on this fucking spaceship that is like the hegemonic power. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, what are you talking about? What that means? They're like, I don't know. That looks bad. And you're like, without understanding, like, do you, this is such a larger picture here. And it's not just Crimson Jihad and they're back, right. Their camera ran out of batteries. Like, but hey, when we want to reduce it to those kinds of things and flatten it into easy to understand things, it gets away from us. And then we get this kind of shit.
But anyway. That's why it's so important to have people from their own communities tell their stories, because you're going to have someone like James Cameron tell the story and put their funky ass spin on it.
Oh, so you know some, like, you know a Navi? You know Navi? Okay.
Why was there no Navi representation in this?
Yeah, there's someone on Instagram. They're like, I've been here the whole time talking about Navi rights, and y'all really just fucking left me out of the conversation.
There's someone who's already learning the Navi language. You know what I mean? Like, there's someone who's, they're LARPing with the Navi, and it's, it's one of those things where I just like, we gotta, like, just James Cameron, like, let's make way for other creators and other filmmakers who have like really compelling stories to tell and are from those communities. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just so over it. Like the Yellowstone of it all, where it's like someone comes in and like writes these lines and they're supposed to be from this community and it sounds insane. And I'm just over it. But yeah, Tom Arnold was a dumbass in that movie, and it was so funny to watch him just... Oh,
give me the goddamn
so
page!
Yeah, it was... Oh, my God.
I mean, we used to just scream. I remember, like, there was someone in our high school named Dana, and we would just be like, Dana!
Dana!
That's... What are you doing?
That was probably his audition tape for the whole film. Was probably like...
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Amazing. I can't do that one's a bad one.
No, that was actually that.
Thank you. Okay, Arnold, yeah. But what is Arnold Schwarzenegger without his allergy medicine?
What is he?
I don't know. Anyway, that was my best attempt. I can only do that. I can't actually.
I need
talk
my Zyrtec.
Like
it's fantastic.
My Zyrtec.
Get my. That's why I take 24-hour Zyrtec. It's fantastic for people like me who have the allergies.
The allergies.
All right. Well, Jackie, Kalia, it has been fantastic having you yet again. Where do the people find you, follow you, hear you, support you? And what is a tweet that you've been liking?
Oh, my God. Okay. So you guys can find me at Jackie Comedy, JACKIECOMEDY. I'm on all things. That's on Twitter and Instagram and Venmo.
There you go.
And and a tweet that I love, and this was on November 1st, as you guys know, it's Native American Heritage Month. So it says, this is from Rez Princess. Her at is Chake and Bake. For this Native American Heritage Month, I'm accepting payments for any time anyone has used the word tribe to describe their friend group. And I saw that and I was like, fucking thank God. Because the amount of people who say, my tribe, my people. And it's like, bitch, I got a tribe. I got a people. Like, can you not talk about you and your little friends as a tribe? I would love that. So anyway, big shout outs to Rez Princess, because that was a hilarious tweet. And I was like, fuck yeah, that's the mood this month for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In so many ways that we can decolonize our own language, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been caught out here saying stuff about totem poles or my spirit animals and shit like that. And I'm like, there's other ways to express these things without these.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it irks me. Like, when it happens in the moment, someone's like at work, like, hey, let's get a powwow going. And I'm like, can you not? Yeah, like, just. There's other words to describe that, you know?
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah. How about another useless ass meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. That should have been a fucking email. That should have been a fucking email is what that should be. I hate
Let
when
me save you.
That's why if you're an ally, it's a good reason to get your tickets to good medicine right now.
Yes, make sure you get your tickets.
Yeah. Make sure you support the community. Learn something.
Exactly.
Yes, go to packnyc.org. Get your tickets. Again, killer lineup. I'll see you guys there in New York City.
Beautiful. Justin, thanks so much, man, for co-hosting today. Where do the people find you, follow you? What's a tweet you like, all that?
You can find me at jconthesmith. That's jconthesmith. Only on Instagram. I don't have a very active social media presence, but I'm out here. You know, I'm doing my thing. Piece of media I enjoyed. I was trying to come up with something cooler, but really, as Miles knows, I've been really into this Blue Eyed Samurai show on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's just I love seeing stories once again coming from people who have that lived experience, but trying to give you a relatable story that is just so fascinating that it stays with you for days afterwards. That's what happened with me. Okay. I don't know much about the Edo period of Japan during that time, but it really struck a chord with me as a person of mixed race heritage to see like where you might stand in the history of your culture, like coming down on you as like kind of carrying two parts of your identity and you don't know what to do with it. And it's a struggle, but it's also such a beautiful story. Like all of the characters are fully developed. And even though you might predict one or two things that will shock you eventually, I want to shout out a specific episode because at one point they simultaneously start telling a story within a story within a story.
Whoa.
And each of them moves their own insular narratives at a really fun pace. And then the overall story arc coincides with what's being told in all of these stories, and it's just showing off the creator's like ability to master their craft of storytelling. And it's kind of an ode to their daughter, the Michael Green, and I want to make sure I get the name right, Amber Noizumi. They both created this show, and it's a like an homage to their daughter, who they also called the Blue-Eyed Samurai growing up. And they formed the show a little bit after that nickname came up. But man, it's so beautiful. It's very violent. So, you know, don't
beware.
Don't,
yeah.
Beware. There's
it's like
some
a wild
very
ass anime violence.
Yes. But the choreography, like if you loved Avatar, The Last Airbender, but you want a more grown up, less fantasy involved version of that, but very moving nonetheless. Man, check the show out. I really hope it gets all the accolades.
And what if you liked Avatar, the James Cameron film?
Oh, okay. Well, Blue-Eyed Samurai, not blue-faced caricature.
Yeah,
okay. That's what we need right now. The name of that episode was called The Tale of the Ronin and the Bride. And you could watch it on your own. It's episode 5, I believe. You could watch it on your own. It's like a short film. It's like 48 minutes. But the story they build up before and after it is so beautiful and worth checking out.
Yeah.
It's also 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So Whoa. You sold me on that one, Justin.
Yeah. It's, oh man, you can finish it in a weekend.
You sold me. Okay.
And,
it's,
and I think you'll learn a lot about a lot of things here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's wild. Yeah. Like when you told me, I was like, I'm considered a half Japanese beast over there from back then. This is exactly me. And it's dope too because it's voiced by Maya Erskine from Pen 15, who herself is biracial, white, and Japanese. So this is down to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, really dope show. Anyway, you can find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they got at symbols. You can also find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. If you like, you know, weed and 90 Day Fiance, then come check out 420 Day Fiance. That's another show I do with Sophia Alexandra. Let's see. A tweet I like comes from Ellery Smith at Ellery Smith. Tweeted, when a restaurant only has their own homemade ketchup, I'm like, don't you know hubris is the hero's fatal flaw? Which I feel that. It's like, what are you, really? Okay, we'll see you. We'll see you soon. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you, Justin. where we post all the articles and clips and links that we talked about today, as well as a song that we're going to ride out on. We are going to go out on this track. Let me bring it back up. This is called El Sueño by the band called Lalom, L-A-L-O-M. They're an L.A. band, but they're kind of like, they're sort of trippy. They've got like cumbia influences, but like also like this kind of psychedelic, nostalgic vibe to it. It feels like you're listening to stuff like on an old radio or something like that. But this track is called El Sueño by Lalom, and it's dope. Just some nice, easy music to start warming us up for the weekend, okay? That'll do it for us. Obviously, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio, so for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts for free. We'll see you later to tell you what's trending, okay? Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.